Title of the message is God is going to humble the proud. And God's divine favor will rest upon the humble. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would work through me tonight, speak through me tonight, that we will hear your voice, Lord, that your voice will override my voice, Lord, that we will be in harmony tonight, Holy Spirit. I want you to work, Lord, here in our hearts and our lives, Lord, because only you can change us, Lord, and your word is so precious to us, Lord. So we ask that you would speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, regardless of how things look right now, sometimes in the natural, things can appear to be hopeless. As God's people, obviously, we're never without hope. And we know how this is all going to finish. Amen. We know the Lord is going to come. He's going to rule over all the earth. So God gives people an option. Either you're going to humble yourself before God, or you will be humbled by God. So we decide it's always better just to say, yes, Lord, and to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to him, because, first of all, he loves us so much. He knows what's best for us. So he wouldn't command us to do anything except that it was in love, amen, for his children. And we have to understand that his word is life, amen, is life-giving. And but we have the choice, because God gave us freedom of choice, to decide what we're going to do with our will every day. And there are many allurements, a lot of traps. The enemy is very busy, especially in this day and age, isn't he? Seducing many of God's people away from the Lord, amen, and from his people and from his mission, and getting them preoccupied in just worldly things. And backsliding is not something that happens immediately or overnight. It's over a period of time. It's a process. As people begin to drift away from God, other things begin to creep in and take priority in their life, and we begin to erect in our own hearts idols that take the place of God. And usually you can tell when a believer is beginning to fall away or drift away is because usually we become very critical of everything and everyone. Very negative. We start to see things through a pessimistic, if you will, glass. I believe that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you'll agree with me, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have full optimism in God and confident assurance of the goodness of God in your life. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the Bible says to rejoice always, doesn't it? That's supposed to be our attitude. We're supposed to rejoice always. Has anybody here arrived at rejoicing always? Okay. So there's room for improvement in our lives, amen? To get to a place where we are praying without ceasing, right? And all things giving thanks. And what? Rejoicing always. Now, we can't do that except by the Holy Spirit, who empowers us, enables us to see things from God's perspective. And when we have God's perspective on life, there's optimism, amen? There's hope, because that's his nature. He is the God of all hope. So when we get into a place where we start to feel hopeless, it means that we're getting into our flesh, into ourselves, and we're drifting in our hearts away from the Lord, who is the God of all hope. So when this begins to happen, it's an indication that we are becoming prideful in the sense that we choose not to submit to God. We choose to do our own thing and disregard the will of God for our lives. That's arrogance against the Most High, who has created all things and for his pleasure they are created. Amen. You and I were made for God. We were made to worship God. We were made for God. Amen. To walk with God. So regardless of how things look, Malachi 4:1 gives us this promise. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, throughout history, God has humbled gifted people and leaders who became proud in recent times as well. Remember when God had spoke to Moses in Numbers 20 and verse 7. He said in verse 8, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, and do what? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. But what happened? Let's look at verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. He was having a bad day. He was upset with them. But he allowed his will to get in the way of God's will. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? What's going on here? He's rebelling. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Remember, God had given the instruction to do what? Speak to it, right? Instead, he did what? He struck it twice with his rod. And water did come out abundantly. And the congregation and their animals drank. So just because it's a miracle does not mean that the servant or the vessel is necessarily operating in obedience to God. Hear that. Verse 12, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Now, somebody had reminded me earlier today that Moses was 120 years old when this happened. So you think about all that he accomplished in his lifetime, and then he comes to a place where in a moment of a fit of rage, okay, he disrespects the Lord in front of the entire congregation by disobeying the very clear direction of the Lord. In other words, he exalted his will above God's will in the sight of the people. And as a result, God told him that he will not be able himself to enter into the land which he had given them. So this is how God deals with the prideful or the proud people. And this is how God deals with leaders as well. God will deal with any leader, world leader as well, you know, that exalts themselves against God's will. Now, for a season, they may get away with it. And God may allow it, right, for a season. But eventually, God will intervene and God's will be accomplished. Amen. And sometimes God's will that's determined for one person, amen, may be moved to somebody else. If a person is not willing to submit themselves and obey God's will, God can choose somebody else to do the same task that he called you to do. So you can miss out on the opportunity that God gave you because you refuse to submit to him and obey his voice. And I don't want that to happen. How about you? Look at the death of Herod here. Remember this in Acts chapter 12, verse 21. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him. Why? Because he did not give glory to God. He received the glory to himself. And he was eaten by worms and died. God dealt with this man. How about King Nebuchadnezzar? God humbled him, didn't he, before the watching world. In Daniel 4:29, at the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you." Now, any leader, as a matter of fact, any believer, we need to be very careful that we give God the glory for what he has accomplished in our lives. Amen? It's okay to compliment one another or to give a word of encouragement if somebody is doing a good work for the Lord, to say, "Brother, you're doing great, a good job." Amen? We can praise somebody else, but we're never to praise ourselves. It's okay if somebody else praises you, but sometimes God is actually speaking through somebody to encourage you in something that you're doing that is pleasing to him, okay? There's a difference between a word of encouragement and flattery. Flattery is when somebody is setting you up to take advantage of you by saying nice things about you so they can control you. Amen, but speak the truth, it says in love. And if somebody's doing a good work, it's a good thing to encourage them in a good work. Amen. But understand this, when somebody encourages us, we must always be careful to say, first of all, thank you for that. I give God the glory. Because without him, I can do nothing. Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar, because of his attitude, as we see also in certain political figures, amen, even sometimes good politicians who forget that it was God who gifted them and enabled them to be who they are and to accomplish what they did, because all gifts come from God, amen? All ability comes from God. Therefore, whatever God accomplishes in our lives, we should be very careful to give him the praise and give him the glory for any accomplishments, amen? Rather than taking it upon ourselves and say, "Well, I did this and I did that." What we should say is, "By the grace of God, I did this or I did that." Did you see it? Because God will exalt the humble and God will protect those, amen, who are careful to recognize that he was the one that enabled you to do what you could do, even for him. And they drive you out, he said, Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to drive you out from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. 7 times shall pass over you until you know what? That the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. So God didn't completely scrap the guy, amen? He said, listen, there's going to be a season of humbling, all right? Until you come to the realization that it's the Most High who rules, amen, in the kingdom of men. And that very hour, it says in verse 33, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. He must have been a sight. Here we see an example again of God humbling a man and then exalting him again after he humbled himself. After he came to his senses, after he realized what he had done, and after he realized who's really in charge here. And you see these politicians, these world leaders, either now or later, but eventually, they're going to know who's really in charge. Every knee shall bow. Amen? Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And so he exalted him, and then what happened is Nebuchadnezzar returned and did what? He gave God glory. He glorified the Lord. In verse 34 of chapter 4, And at the end of the time, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason, he said, returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. God allowed him to once again be exalted because he had an attitude adjustment, and he humbled himself and acknowledged the God of heaven as the one who raises up kings. Amen? And excellent majesty was added to me. In verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. I don't know about you, but it seems to me like he had a revelation. he got to know who the true God was. Amen. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. So whenever God blesses somebody and they take credit for it, then God will humble that person. God will allow us to suffer at times so that he can redeem us and so that he can restore us to usefulness. Why? Because God cannot use proud people. Why? Because our will get in the way of his. So God has to humble us. If we will not humble ourselves, he will humble us and bring us to a place where we'll understand that it's got to be of God and not of me. There's no such thing as my ministry or your ministry. It's God's ministry through a vessel. So we will once again return and give praise and glory to God. So sometimes we have to go through the fire, amen? But the fire has a refining effect on us. It's good for us. Sometimes we need a little attitude adjustment to get our perspective restored, amen? If Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Remember getting that one in the mail? We need to remember it's the cost of our wanderings from God so we don't continue to repeat them. God wants us to learn the lesson. Amen. That falling away from him is not a good idea ever. It never goes well for those who drift or turn away from God. God wants us to stay close to him, to walk carefully with him, to be loyal to him, to be subject to him, to trust him, to know that he is good and everything he does and everything he calls us to do is good. Amen. And his commandment is love. So when we are selfish, we're not walking in love. We're walking in the flesh. When a person lives for the glory and the honor of God, God will exalt that person and that he might restore him. So if you want to be used of God, remain thankful, continue to give God the glory for every accomplishment and every good thing he has done for you. I used to struggle with people coming up and giving me compliments because, well, I was afraid that, you know, that was somehow improper, you know, because I used to say what I hear other people say, well, it was all God. Right? Now, many have said that, right? Oh, no, it wasn't me. It was all God. No. And I heard somebody say, well, if it was God, it would be much better than that, right? If it was all God, it would be much better than that. But what God does is he partners with us. Amen. So when people compliment us, we have to take it as sometimes maybe somebody's wanting to operate in the gift of encouragement or exhortation, right? And they'll come and say something that will reinforce us in something that we're doing that's good. And that's okay as long as we're very careful to acknowledge the Lord, amen, when we do receive, and you should receive that compliment and say, thank you. But I realize where my help comes from. I know the Lord is the one that deserves the glory. Amen. But it is a partnership, because God actually commends his children when they partner with him and obey him. So don't think that God's not going to commend you at all and it's all going to be God. It's God saying, I've given you an assignment. I've given you responsibility. I've given you some tools. Now I want you to go out and I want you to do something with what I've given you. And if you're a good steward and you've done well, I'm going to commend you. Someday I'm going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. So the Lord will commend a faithful servant. And often in the process of our service, people will be brought into our lives that God has sent to speak a word of encouragement. Amen. To help us understand that we're on the right path. Keep on going. All right? But then we have to be careful to say, Lord, thank you. If there are any accomplishments, I understand that it's because of your grace. And it's because of your grace I am who I am today. Amen. So if a person becomes prideful, and this is what happens sometimes with some ministers, is as they begin to get prospered and they become more famous, or people begin to say all kinds of things about them, and sometimes people actually put the minister in place of Jesus. Amen. And if they're not careful, then they can become prideful and begin to somehow think that maybe I'm a little better than other people because look at all the things that I've accomplished. Hello, somebody. How many know that is a recipe for disaster because you're exalting yourself and not the Lord who enabled you to be who you are? Amen. And we do celebrate one another in the giftings that God has. Amen. Even among us, we admire one another and we see God's work. Amen. Being accomplished through different individuals in different ways. And we should celebrate that. Amen. And we should commend them for the things that they're doing that are right. But we ultimately understand that all good gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights. Amen. And we have nothing that God did not first give us. So we can't take the credit. If we're going to do any boasting, boast in the Lord. Amen. And that's what praise is. Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses and he began to praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If we have a good service, we got to be careful to say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for what you've done today. Amen. And not start to say, wow, I was something, wasn't I? You know, well, you really nailed that one today, didn't you? No, you couldn't do anything without God, really. Not for him. So here's another one. When Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers in Luke 17, verse 17, remember this? Speaking to the choir, but sometimes the choir needs to be reminded, right? So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. In other words, God exalted this man and allowed him to continue in his healing. Amen. Because he was careful to give God glory for it. This morning, as I asked Jesus to share a testimony, that's an opportunity to give God glory for the thing that he's accomplished in our lives, which is truly miraculous. Amen. That's why our testimonies, once again, are so important and so powerful. As we speak of what God did then, it brings what he did then into now, that releases the grace for others to also receive the same miracle. Hallelujah. Now, when God forgives us and he cleanses us, amen, we have to be careful that we also remain humble in our attitude about how well we're doing by the grace of God. Amen. Otherwise, we can get into this place where now we're starting to pick on everybody else and point out their flaws. And that means that somehow we've gotten a little prideful and forgotten what God has done for us. Hear me. Be careful of somebody that's always looking for the fault in everybody else. They're usually pointing the finger away from something that may be really obvious that's going on in their own lives, but they're not willing to face it. Or they become prideful and somehow thinking that it's because I'm such a spiritual person that I'm just so high and lofty now. Are you hearing me? So God has to take that individual and maybe give them a little time in the pasture to humble the person, amen, to humble us. We're sons and daughters, and we have a nature, that old nature, that very easily can become prideful. Come on, every one of us. So we need to remain humble and humble ourselves deliberately before God and recognize that without Him we can do nothing. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:3, "You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead." In other words, we're all lost sinners apart from Christ. Only in Christ is there true righteousness. Only in Him are we righteous. Only in Him are we good, right? And so if there's a good thing that we do, give God glory for it. If we're able to accomplish something for God, give God glory for it. Amen? If you've been successful, give God glory for it. It will keep your heart in the right perspective and understand that it was because of God's goodness that you are who you are and were able to do what you did because of the grace of God in your life. And if you continue to give God glory for what He accomplishes in your life, then God will continue to exalt you. It will protect you. It will keep you where you're at, and then even from there, God can bring you up higher because He sees that He has somebody that can be trusted with a greater anointing, amen, a greater influence. Because they're humble. The humble give glory to God. The humble give praise to God. Yeah. Because the humble are those who realize that it's because of God I am who I am. And it's because of God I was able to do what I could do. And I don't say this false humility thing, oh, it was all God. No, it was because of the Lord I was able to do what I did in His name. Amen? So God chooses us as vessels, but we always return the glory to God. And the whole motivation of our heart is to glorify God. So whatever ministry you're involved with, whatever context that is, it's always, isn't it, to glorify the Lord. To bring a return to Jesus because He deserves the glory. He deserves it. He deserves these little ones, amen, to be offered back to Him, amen, as being rescued from this sin-sick world and be brought into the kingdom. Hallelujah. We want to bring these precious little souls to Jesus. Amen. Romans 12:1, here it is again. You know it so, dear brothers and sisters. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So if you want to receive God's favor, God's blessing, humble yourself. Amen. Submit to Him. Commit yourself, it says here, to the Lord. And committing my life to the Lord means I commit myself to Him as a servant. It's my reasonable service, amen, to give my body to Him and say, Lord, whatever You want to do, I humble myself, I submit myself to Your will, to Your word, amen. Like you were saying earlier, I humble myself to pray. I humble myself to study. I humble myself to get out of bed and go to church. I humble myself to deny maybe something I want to do, but because it's a church night, I'm not going to put my agenda before God's plan. Amen. And God's will is that His people will gather. Amen. As often as possible. and not to make excuses for it. I don't want to have a lot of wood, hay, and stubble when I stand before God. Amen? I want to have works that will remain. So do you. We want to know that our lives have counted. And the only thing that really matters is that we have done the will of God. You've heard it said, one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's so true. Humility is demonstrated by submission to the will of God. Once again, 2 Samuel 22, verse 28, you will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. We watched that video this morning. I don't know if you, how many were able to see that. The little girl said, bring it down. You're way up here. You bring it down. Not too far down, but to levels. Remember she said? I thought, man, out of the mouths of babes. She's like, she's preaching a sermon to them. I wonder if that little girl knows the Lord or not, but she's sure, certainly being used of God. Amen. A lot of the things she was saying were right on. And she's talking about the pride, see, that gets in the way of us being reconciled to one another. Well, I ain't not going to talk to them. I'll talk to them if they want to talk to me, but I ain't talking to them. Are you hearing me? Our pride will say, no, I don't want to humble myself and admit I'm wrong. So instead, I'll just try to prove I'm right. But eventually, all the secrets of men's hearts will be exposed. How many would believe with me that today is a good day to get all the secrets out, to get your heart wide open and let Holy Spirit do the work. Amen. And sweep. Amen. And cleanse us from anything. Amen. I don't want any idols in my heart. I don't want any secrets because there are no secrets with God. But God expects us to open our hearts. He gives us that choice to make whether we're going to allow him access or not, whether we're going to humble ourselves or not. But a soul that humbles themselves before Almighty God, amen, will be lifted up in honor. A soul that obeys the instruction of the Lord will be lifted up in honor, because God knows that is somebody that he can entrust with the treasure of his word. Amen? Oh, I hear that amen over there, sister. Zephaniah 2:3 says, seek the Lord, all you humble, and follow his commands. Seek to do what is right and live humbly. Perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you from his anger on that day of destruction. How many know that day is coming? How many see it happening already? We're seeing a lot of things happening, world events that are happening. You know, I mean, that are just, they're mind-blowing. Look what's happening in Maui right now. Is it Maui? Israel as well, yeah. God's severe judgments are coming on the earth. Jesus warned us in Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Can I suggest to you that a lot of Christians are being weighed down right now by these very things? Yep. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, but what did he say here about these things? He said, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Oh, let's read the rest of the story. It's going to come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. So he said, then watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. There's an escape. All these things that will come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. What is he saying? He's saying that the church has not been appointed to suffer the wrath of God. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And because he's overcome and we have a great high priest in heaven that represents us, amen, that we can call on the name of the Lord and be rescued. Hallelujah. He's coming to rescue us. I believe there's going to be a rapture of the church. And verse 9, now he doesn't say that you're not going to go through hardship. He said you're going to have tribulation. But he didn't appoint us to wrath. For God did not appoint us to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, whether somebody has passed away or they're still walking around, we should live together with him. And remember, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So nations are being shaken. No mystery, is it? But God's favor, listen, remains on the humble. Even if you go through the fire, God's favor was on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? Even if we have to go through the flood, amen? God's favor was on his people. So we should not fear these things, any of these things, because we know God is with us. He will be with us. And his grace is sufficient for us. He is more than enough. His grace will sustain us. His grace will carry us. God can lift us up. God can make water come from a rock. Amen. God can rain manna down from heaven. God can make empty pots, amen, produce food. God can multiply fishes and loaves, amen. God can do it. God is with us. And God will take care of the humble. The humble are those who are relying upon him, depending on him, trusting him, knowing that without him we can't make it. So listen, in Hebrews 12:25 it says, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. Now let me just interject this. When a sleeping man does not arouse, then the next thing to do is to shake that person awake. God is speaking to his people in America. And he's speaking louder and louder all the time. I'm not seeing that many people right now taking the warnings of God serious enough. They're not awake yet. So God is going to continue to speak louder because God wants to redeem. God wants to save even this nation. It's possible, amen, with God. But if the people of God do not wake up, then God's going to have to shake the people of God awake. And I pray, oh God, in your mercy, save America. In your mercy, wake up your people. If my people, right, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, what does he mean in verse 27? He said, this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. What is an unshakable thing that will remain? My word shall endure forever. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Do you have the word of God in you? Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us, here it is, be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire, a consuming fire, it says in King James. So all things in heaven and earth will be shaken. But we are not to be shaken by these things as God's people, because God is with us. If we don't wake up, God will shake us awake. Hebrews 6:18, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. What is it? Hope in God. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Now we can come with confidence, with boldness, into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So that we can receive everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. Amen? All the mercy, all the grace that we need is freely given to us in Christ. Take advantage. Humble yourself. Come to God. Pray. Receive. Amen. Be nourished. Be strengthened. Be built up. And be out, amen, doing the will of God for your life, knowing that here we have no continuing city. We're here for a moment, amen. Our life will soon be over. So let's do the best we can with what we have been given, amen. So that in that day when we see Jesus, we're going to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. All things are going to be shaken. Hebrews 6:18 says, so God has given both his promise and his oath, hasn't he? Hallelujah. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves therefore before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. And now Jesus said this, and I close with this, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. That's where we're at right now. The time of the church. In the time of the gospel being preached to the nations, God is calling men and women, boys and girls to him to be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. Amen. We've been given this stewardship. We've been given this responsibility as ambassadors. We are to represent our Father in this world. We are to be salt. We are to be light. Amen. And we are a resistance force against all that the spirit of Antichrist is up to right now. That's why the devil hates us, because we're interfering with his plans. Let us continue to pray, storming heaven, amen, on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our loved ones, on behalf of our city, amen, even. Hallelujah. I'm praying and believing that God, let heaven come down in this place. Let your glory fall in the Northwest, amen. Arrest, Lord, every sinner, hallelujah. Let the conviction come upon the people in such a way, hallelujah, they'll be smitten in their hearts and they will humble themselves. They'll fall in their face before you, and they will acknowledge that you are God, that they'll have a revelation like Nebuchadnezzar did, that you are the true God in eternal life. Hallelujah. And there is no other God before you. So we say, Lord, reign in us as your people. Lord, I say, reign in me. Lord, I want to be humble. I want to be a servant that honors and glorifies you and is remembering that it's because of your goodness that I am who I am today. And so I will continue as we sing that song to sing of the goodness of God. And all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, Lord, you have been so, so good. Isn't that so true? You have been so good. Lord, help us to remember that even when we go through difficulties in life, that you are always good. That you never change, and that you love us with an everlasting love, and with tender mercies you have drawn us to yourself. Lord, may your kingdom come, Holy Father. May your will be done in our lives, Lord, as in heaven, so on earth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.